Hello, this is John Kalkowski, editor of Flexible Packaging Magazine. Today I am at PAC Expo Las Vegas, and I'm speaking with Carl Voss, CEO of Soft Robotics. Carl, how are you today?
I'm doing great, John. How are you doing?
Good. Well, it's been a busy time here in Las Vegas. How has the show been for you?
The show has been really good this year. I was talking to the PMMI group, and they've seen a 20% increase is what they think. So it's been really well attended. The other thing is I think the activity this year is in the past years, you have a lot of discussions, you help customers think about future projects, but it feels like there's a lot of folks who are showing up at the show with projects ready to move.
Well, that's a good sign for sure.
It's a great sign.
Carl, tell us a little bit about your company, Soft Robotics.
Absolutely. So Soft Robotics, we're a company that was founded out of Harvard University to solve the dexterous grasping problem, which is, put simply, how do you get a robot to pick up things that are wildly varying? We say that variation is the kryptonite of robots. But when we start thinking about packaging, all of the things that are on the floor, high SKU consumer goods, what's in logistics, what's in e-commerce, is we need to figure out how to get these robots to be agile and adaptive. And so that's what we do with our technology.
You know, I've been surprised here at the show. There's so much more automation than we've seen before, and so many more robots. What do you think that's all about?
I think there's a couple things. One is I think the technology is getting there. Because remember, robotics really, up until 2016, 2017, was all about automotive and electronics. And so you would build an assembly line, and you would run cars, and the robot would do the same thing over and over again. Or you would be assembling phones. There was palletizing robots, which we've used in the past, but we really didn't have robots that could be into these highly variable applications. And so now we've got the technology where you can put the robots into high variation packaging things that vary in size, shape, and weight. So the technology is there, it's ready, and at the same time, I think the industry has come along. I think we've seen this labor shortage continue. People are really hurting in their business to make sure they can run their companies, and so now they're turning to robots and the technology is ready to go.
Is part of that, do you think, because there's a shortage of trained personnel in the packaging field?
I think it's a shortage of personnel in all fields. Just getting people into manufacturing locations has become very, very hard.
Okay. Now, your company, Soft Robotics, you guys deal with collaborative robots, right?
We do. We work in industrial, collaborative, and mobile, but we do quite a bit in collaborative.
So what's the difference between, say, a standard robot and a collaborative robot?
Absolutely. So standard robots, you've probably seen the pictures of them in automotive plants. They're caged. They move at high speeds. They're moving high weights. And they're very dangerous. And so you have to keep people physically separated from them. With a collaborative robot, the real concept was, can you have a lightweight robot that has some inherent safety function, whether it's force sensing or something, so that if it interacts with a person, it will stop without injury. And so we've been seeing really the last 5 years this explosive growth of this space of these small lightweight robots that you can set up almost anywhere.
Now, a collaborative robot, that seems to imply also that you can train these robots pretty easily. Is that the situation?
Absolutely. I think that's a really important point that a lot of folks don't realize is the safety factor is really important. But what happened is when these robots came out, these were startups. They were trying to break the mold. And so instead of using the traditional way of programming industrial robot, which required long periods of training, is they built very simple touchscreen interfaces, programming that literally, I would say, any middle schooler could pick up the teach pin in one of these collaborative robots and get it running. And I think that easy use has been another big breakthrough, because now robotic automation is accessible to, you know, small companies, small, medium enterprises that probably just didn't have the in-house expertise.
So you mentioned another important factor with robots, of course, is safety.
Yes.
Why is a collaborative robot more safe than one of the other types of robots?
Well, I think the key phrase you use there, more safe, is important, because I think when collaborative robots first hit the market, it was, oh, they're completely safe. I just started up. And what we used to always tell people is, if I give a collaborative robot a knife, is that a safe robot? Well, it's not. And so we still tell our customers, do the risk assessment, whether you're putting in a small, lightweight collaborative robot or a giant industrial robot, is do the risk assessment, really understand the application. But really what's interesting is when they're in a collaborative mode, if they were to bump into someone, so say someone was walking through the plant, not paying attention, and the robot swung around and bumped into them, it would stop and it would not injure that person. Whereas an industrial robot would probably cause severe.
Would knock them aside?
If you were lucky, maybe a severe injury would occur.
Really? So Carl, can robots, collaborative robots, and people really work side by side?
They absolutely can. But once again, you want to do the work and do the risk assessment. But for the most part, these collaborative robots, they don't require a lot of floor space because you don't have to do the safety guarding. And you can, in these applications, have them very close to people.
So in the packaging industry, how are companies using cobots at this point?
We're seeing cobots doing everything from primary packaging, secondary packaging, palletizing. And the nice thing there is you can set a palletizing robot up and you don't have to fence it. As long as you're moving, you know, your boxes aren't 50-pound boxes. As long as the boxes are within reason, so if one was dropped, it wouldn't hurt anyone.
Uh-huh.
And so we're seeing these collaborative robots really come across all areas of industry.
Well, that's interesting. When you say they're being used in primary packaging, are they doing pick and place type of activities, or are they setting up a carton or a case or something like that?
It's interesting. There's two applications that I've seen which are really interesting. One is I've seen a collaborative robot case erector. So if you think about case erectors, they've always they're complicated pieces of equipment. If the case erector jams, then the whole line goes down. And it was really ingenious. It was all it was a collaborative robot with a frame, and the robot literally picked the flat corrugated and then just moved it through this frame, and it built the case and taped it shut and put it on the line. So I think that's a very interesting, because now you've got a case erector that is small, compact, lightweight, reduces moving parts. So this is a very interesting use case. The other one is if you think about co-packing and repacking of holiday gift items. So where I'm going to build the holiday beauty care set. So I've got, you know, soap, I've got a perfume, you've got some other. Is a lot of those things are just done manually because of the high variation. But now with collaborative robots, they're easy to set up, they're easy to program. You can run one product for a few hours and then get it running on the next product. And you can, once again, a lot of times we see these collaborative robots now on carts. So people are actually moving them around based on what their production or their batches they're running during the day.
So are you seeing collaborative robots being used in, say, e-commerce applications?
We have. I think some of these 3PLs, the repacks, we've seen them. There are applications out there with collaborative robots in e-commerce.
How does a collaborative robot see what it's doing?
You can run vision-guided robots, just like you do with an industrial robot, is you can plug a machine vision system in and have the collaborative robot run off of it. So conveyor tracking, pick and place, all those applications are open to it using industrial standard machine vision applications.
And one of the, I think, big concerns with robots is how do they pick up whatever item
Absolutely.
They're doing. So end of arm effectors are very important. There are different types, right? There's grippers, vacuum. What are you seeing? Are all of those in use on the collaborative robots?
We're seeing all of those. And I think what is interesting is, back to our discussion of why robots now, is robots traditionally either used rigid graspers, which were usually whatever part you needed a grasper per part. So if you were handling 30 different parts, you'd have to have 30 different graspers, and it became very expensive and very complex. Or suction cups. Suction cups are great for things that are flat and you can pull a vacuum on. And as we get into high variation industries, e-commerce, consumer goods, if you think about a bottle of shampoo or a laundry detergent bottle with a handle on it, you can't pick it up with a rigid grasper, and it's going to be really hard to land a suction cup on that, right? So we've seen over the years the adaptable grasping mechanism. So soft robotics is a perfect example of that, where we've used our technology. You can put it on the end of a collaborative robot and it can pick anything up within the right size and shape range without any reprogramming, without any software updates. And so that's a huge capability to the market.
So if you had a conveyor running,
yes,
with different types of products coming by on there in different sizes, how does the robot pick out the right ones, and how does it place them?
Great. So we do a packaging demo that we call SKUzilla, where we have a conveyor belt running, and we just throw items onto the conveyor. And what's interesting is we use a very simple machine vision, a low-cost machine vision system. It just finds the shape outline and picks it up and packages it into the corrugated in this case.
So what kind of applications do you see for robots where they can discern the different types of products or materials?
I think these are great applications because if you're a consumer goods company, you're doing case packaging in this mm-hmm. case, is you're probably running batches of very different SKUs. You know, the large bottles of shampoo, the small bottles of shampoo, and everything in between. And being able to do that without having to change into arm tooling or reprogram the robot is very important.
And if the orientation of the product is different on a conveyor or whatever you're doing, does that depend upon the vision system then or other type of sensoring?
It's a combination of the vision system and the end of arm tooling that can solve that problem.
Okay. One of the things that we hear more and more about these days is artificial intelligence. What role do you see artificial intelligence playing in robotics now, and what do you think will be the future?
I think it's the full range. You know, artificial intelligence today in robotics is, and in manufacturing and logistics for that matter, is using the machine to look at very large data sets and come up with insights. Like the recommender on Netflix, right? Oh, you like this show based on this? We think you might like this show. And when we think about that, I think what's important is manufacturers, retailers, e-commerce companies, they can start using AI to know what's their high volume SKUs, what are going to be their high volume SKUs, and really feed that back into optimizing their processes upstream to really benefit their more efficient manufacturing and supply chain. I think that's really important. And then with robotics, is being able to meet that adaptability will be very, very important.
So earlier I'd asked you about robots and humans working
yes.
side by side. Are robots going to take human jobs?
I do not believe so. I think today in the United States, it's public knowledge. Well, it's the Bureau of Labor Statistics. There's 1 million plus more job openings than there are people looking for work. And so we've got a lot of jobs we need to fill now just to maintain production.
Would you say the goal then is just to help complement what the human staff is doing?
Absolutely. We talk about at SoftwareBox, we talk about the robot-human alliance, whereas people are scarce. We've got a lot more open jobs than we have people. So let's figure out how to get the robots to do the jobs no one wants to do and get the people to do the good jobs that require the human brain and the human thinking and human decision making.
Now, we talked a little bit about the end of arm effectors.
Yes.
How dexterous are they now? Will they ever be able to replicate the actions of the human hand?
I mean, the human hand is unbelievably complicated. And you think about things we do every day that we don't realize just how difficult it is. You're tying a tie around your actual neck. The variation there, you know, you're in a hotel, you've got different lighting, all these things defeat robots. So that's something I think is going to be years before a robot can be that dexterous. But the big thing today is to really handle, you know, one of our goals has been, how do you automate the full SKU set of a big box retailer? And we're rapidly approaching that solution. And so you can deploy these technologies into high mix, high volume processes today.
So from your point of view, you're involved in the robotics industry.
Yes.
Where do you see things going, let's say, 5 years out and maybe a decade out? Because I'm sure there's going to be a lot of advances in that
Absolutely.
Time period. What are some of the things that you think will be happening?
I think we're going to see a big shift in where robots are bought and deployed, because today still a majority go into automotive or electronics. But we're seeing unbelievably high growth. I think in 2017 we saw industrial robots. So these are robot units sold into food and consumer goods applications grow at 48%.
Really?
Life sciences applications, which is largely packaging, at 31%. And so we're seeing very rapid adoption of robotic technology into what used to be the small niche general industries of robotics. And so I think the biggest thing that, if I was going to make a prediction, I would say is the non-automotive, non-electronic, the non-traditional markets will quickly overtake the traditional markets for robotic adoption.
So let's say I'm one of the persons walking down the aisles here at PAC Expo. I've got a small to medium-sized company. How can I put robots to work? How can I afford to buy robots?
Absolutely. So I think what's important is I do think we're seeing a reduction in cost come down on the overall systems, but we like to talk about machine tending in the metal industry, as that's been a job that people always hate. They're able to now use collaborative robots. Anyone that can program a CNC machine can program a collaborative robot, and they can set up and let the robot load and unload the machines, because machinists are very difficult to hire. They're one of the most scarce resources. So if you have a machinist, do you want him doing the monotonous loading, unloading, or do you want him setting up and programming CAD CAM?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's a great application. I would say get on the floor, see all of the robot companies, the industrial robotic companies, the collaborative robotics companies, and tell them what your application is. That's the best way to move forward.
Okay, and are companies these days really willing to reach out and try some of this? Are you seeing a lot more experimentation?
I don't think the industry is doing enough experimentation. I think there's still some, there's a lot of hesitancy, but what we tell our customers is work with a systems integrator or a robotics company to find a good first application and get started. We have a customer, one of our favorite customers, they're in Fitchburg, Massachusetts. They make, they're a tier two OEM supplier, and they have an injection molding line that required two people per shift, two shifts a day, and no one wanted to work that workstation. It was the worst work center there. They were spending $250,000 a year on the salaries and benefits of those four people. The people would leave, you know, they would do that job for a couple of weeks and say, I got to do something else. This is horrible. No one wanted to work. And for $167,000, they put a robot in. So they got a 9-month return on investment. And now they don't have to ask anybody to do this miserable job.
So the robots don't have medical problems. They don't get injured.
They don't.
They don't have attitude.
They don't.
Well, I can see where that might be an advantage in some of this field.
And it is. And you really get a chance to take the human employees and give them better opportunities.
Great. Well, again, 5 years out, 10 years out, what advances are you seeing or do you foresee in robotics?
I think we're going to continue to see this rapid adoption. I think you're going to see robots in places you didn't think about it. I think you're going to see robots pick up grocery orders. And then I think you're going to see, we're right on the cusp of a big move forward towards autonomous mobile robots. There's been a lot of interest. There's some great companies out there, but I really feel like in the next 5 years, warehouses will be majority of material handling will happen not via fork truck, will happen via autonomous mobile robot. 10 years out, that's a tough one. But I think what we're going to see 10 years out, if I could say one thing, is primary and secondary food packaging. We'll go from really throwing away a lot of food because of labor shortages and machine wastage to having robots come in and have very automated, high quality, high throughput supply chains across the food industry.
Well, Carl, thanks. It's been great talking with you. It's exciting to see what's happening in the robotics industry. And I think this is a great opportunity for people here within the packaging. Thanks for updating us and hope to talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks so much. This has been a great conversation.
This Packaging Perspectives podcast has been brought to you by the BNP Media Packaging Group. To hear other related podcasts, please visit packagingstrategies.com to help you stay current with developments in the packaging industry. If you would like to suggest a topic for a future interview, please email me, John Kalkowski, at kalkowskij@bnpmedia.com. Until next time, this is Packaging Perspectives.